your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep.
Hello, and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And I have a special guest tonight for you guys that were asking a gazillion questions about neurotransmitters. Tonight, we have Dr. Marty Hinz on. Welcome to the show, Dr. Hinz.
Hi, thank you.
This is going to be a lot of fun because they were asking all kinds of, well, what about this and what about that last week because we had Dr. Stein on. So this is going to be fun. So I thought if we could continue the neurotransmitter discussion, that would be great. But first, if you would please give the listeners a little bio, you know, about your background and what you're doing now and all that kind of stuff, and then we'll hit it with the neurotransmitters.
All right. My name is Dr. Marty Hinz. I'm a medical doctor, MD. By training, I have an industrial chemistry degree. I was trained in family practice, and I practiced 12 years of emergency medicine and trauma medicine in quite a number of hospitals, and went back into clinic practice in 1994 and got this research project going.
Awesome. And what's going on with the research project?
Oh, a lot. Yeah, 2008's been incredible for us. University of Minnesota Medical School has... In November, they submitted the first of a series of papers they're writing on our research work. And over time, as we've been doing this, we had hoped to get things published while it's on our doorstep. And we're still doing clinical studies in the background. Right now, we've got a study with seven clinics going, evaluating some different formulas we've developed. And it's just busy every day, I guess. There's always something going on.
Well, you know, I know how that goes, although I'm not nearly as busy as you are. So I'm finding it hard to find time to do anything right now, but the stuff that you're doing is really interesting. I was telling the listeners previously that going to the seminar on weight loss and neurotransmitters really opened my eyes to a lot of things. And you know, a lot of us, we don't have time to look into everything, so we really appreciate guys like you that are out there doing all this research and then telling us what works so we don't have to waste time, you know, trying a million other things that we think might work. And I've got to tell you, you know, when I started doing the neurotransmitters that you had put together, it made a huge difference right away. And it was just like night and day. Within 24 hours, I felt the difference. And by that, I mean I was feeling good. And, you know, things were just a lot easier to do. And I had more energy within, you know, just for the bodily processes and things. So that was really good. And one of the things that the listeners were asking about this last month, basically about neurotransmitters, is they would like to understand the whole role of neurotransmitters a little bit better. And I wanted to have you talk about weight loss and neurotransmitters and how the way that we go through the holidays actually makes it harder in that it depletes our neurotransmitters as we're eating all these goodies and things and running around and not getting enough sleep. So whichever way that you want to approach that would be great.
Well, there's a two-day lecture right there, I guess.
Yeah, I know.
It's true, though. You know, the problem is that even if you eat ideal and you try and design the perfect diet for getting your neurotransmitters where you need them to get rid of disease symptoms like depression or insomnia or an appetite that's out of control, it can't be done. Mm-hmm. And that's what we were faced with back in 1999 and year 2000. We knew what it took for nutrients to get just this percentage of the people under control. So we thought, let's try and design a diet to do that, and we just couldn't do it because the nutrient needs are too great that it was just not practical to get it from the diet. Mm-hmm. With neurotransmitters, Al Stein, Dr. Al Stein from Fort Lauderdale, I guess, was on your show last week, and mm-hmm. he's an excellent doctor for talking about the cause of neurotransmitter problems in people. But what it really looks like is that the nerve bundles, that the neuron bundles that transfer electricity through the brain, some of these bundles get damaged. And when they get damaged, the electricity doesn't flow like it should, and the disease symptoms develop. Mm-hmm. So why did they get damaged? How did they get damaged? How do you fix them is the real question. But it really boils down to, over time, looking at things, that toxins in the environment, things, neurotoxins, are the leading culprit. Every doctor knows what a neurotoxin is. It's a substance that gets in your body, goes in your brain, and causes damage. But for some reason, most doctors haven't really put the pieces together to figure out that with the increase in depression, the increase in insomnia, the increase in PMS, the increase in probably over 100 diseases in the last 50 years is linked to neurotoxins in the environment and causing this damage where the electrical flow in the brain is compromised.
Yeah, and I can pretty much attest to the fact that they haven't figured that out, because I get the patients that nobody could figure out, and I got to tell you, it's pretty easy to get them out of their disease process when you start looking at what the damage is in the body. And then they ask me, well, how come my specialist doesn't know that? I tell them, I don't know. You should go ask your specialist.
But, you know, why they don't know it became apparent when I was writing this summer with the University of Minnesota Medical School. Uh-huh. We had to pull hundreds of literature articles on neurotransmitters to really shore up the paper we were writing. Mm-hmm. And what really hit home is that 95% of the writing, scientific writing on neurotransmitters, has been done in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. So here we sit on top of a research project that we really started about 12 years ago, and the literature just started really coming out in the last 5 years. So doctors don't know this stuff.
Yeah, and that's a big problem, because with what Dr. Stein was saying, you know, he's able to help so many people just by giving them the neurotransmitters. And and for the listeners that didn't hear the other shows, that basically is amino acids that that replenish the neurotransmitters in your brain. And he was talking about some interesting cases he'd had with people that really had some strange things going on and just turned around like within a week, and we're doing fabulous and no longer had the problems. And, you know, I mean, this is amazing stuff. And when you were talking about the neurotransmitters and how they also affect the kidneys, that was real eye-opening for me. Because, you know, the kidneys, we look at them, we go, wow, they're so complex. You know, let's look someplace else, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, seeing how that affected the blood pressure and, you know, the deficiency of the neurotransmitters there, and having, what was it, 95% of your serotonin in the gut was amazing. I didn't know
yep.
that. So, yeah, if you could touch on that a little bit, that I think that would be interesting for the listeners.
Well, what we work with, there's over 180 neurotransmitters in the brain, and we just work with four of them primarily. There's others to be worked with, but these four neurotransmitters, serotonin, dopamine, norepinephrine, and epinephrine, they really run everything. And it's hard to find a function in the body that isn't directly or indirectly controlled by them. So when the electrical system, see, these neurotransmitters, what the neurotransmitters do, if you can imagine a pair of extension cords, and you plug them together. So once these extension cords are plugged together, two neurons, normally there should be some kind of contact, like the plug, to make the electricity go from one cord to another. Well, there's a space between the neurons, and the neurotransmitters are kind of the glue in between that space that makes the electricity jump. Mm-hmm. And these things work as bundles, so that you have a bundle of neurons, and if some of them get damaged, you don't get enough electricity. And by turning up the neurotransmitter level, you increase the electrical flow in the rest of things, and everything's rest of the neurons, and everything starts working. Well, that's in the brain. You get out into the kidney, like you were talking about, and it's incredible what some of the things that you find. We're working with we're working with dopamine, and we also work with this damage to the electrical system. And when you get into the kidney, high blood pressure, what's called essential hypertension, high blood pressure is caused by low levels of dopamine and electrical damage, the exact same thing that we're working with. So we do have a fairly large database we're combing through right now of people that had their blood pressure go down by, working with using what we've developed. But it's not consistent in all people, so we're trying to find out why and how to make this. It'd be better to use something, nutrients, to get your blood pressure under control than these drugs, which have all the side effects.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I was just checking one of my patients today, and his blood pressure has gone from 142 over 90-something down to 120 over 80. And that's in the space of a month with the neurotransmitters.
Yep. It's there's so much that we don't know, and this is all I've been working with since 1997, and I can safely say that there's more I don't know than what I know.
Well, then you must be a really smart guy.
Oh my God! Yeah, it's a perfect Dr. Stein, who was on your show last week. It's kind of an interesting story how we Dr. Stein and I got together. He had came to a couple of the medical conferences I was teaching at, and then I started talking to him. And my opinion at that time was that neurotoxins or chemicals in the environment had to be damaging the brains of all these people getting these problems, and we were just coming in and wrapping up the electricity. And here was Dr. Stein, his specialty and his interest in life was neurotoxins, getting them out of the body. So it just became a natural fit that he got the neurotoxins out of the body, and then I came behind and took care of the symptoms that were the residual symptoms that were left once they were gone.
Yeah, and it's amazing his story with what he went through, and it was real up close and personal for him.
Yep.
Which kind of tends to make you a convert, you know. And and I can tell you that in the little time that I practiced what you guys were teaching us at that seminar, it has been just amazing. And it's one of those things where I've been looking for something like that, looking for the elegant answer. I don't want to throw tons and tons of supplements at people. And you know, I know you have to clean them out or the best stuff in the world isn't going to work. So, you know, when I started using the amino acid therapy that you developed, I was really amazed at how quickly it worked, which to me really tells you, yeah, that's the answer. And I haven't had to do any urine testing on anybody yet. But, you know, it's only been, a month or something that I've been using this stuff. And so far, everybody that I've used it on has just had some amazing changes happen, and they feel good. And, of course, I've got some of them on diets, too, using the stuff that you got available in the back office there on the computer. And that helps a lot, too, because people can choose what they want to do. And so I'm real happy with that caloric program, where you can just type it in there, and just be able to say, okay, listen, if you want to lose it in 6 months, you have to do this many calories, and if you want to lose it in 10 months, it'll be this many. And, you know, they get to choose so they don't feel deprived. And now I don't have too many people that are on things like Prozac or Paxil or anything like that anymore. When I did have them on that, I took them off of it pretty easily with dietary changes and acupuncture. But nothing has ever been as easy as using those amino acids. And one of the things that I'd like you to talk about for the listeners is kind of what's going on in the brain when you are lacking in dopamine and serotonin, and why nobody has a Prozac deficiency.
the Prozac deficiency. Yeah, we've talked about that in the background. That enough. You know, it took me quite a while to firmly arrive at this opinion, but after looking at tens of thousands of neurotransmitter tests coming through the lab, the idea that people with disease or people with depression or whatever have low levels of neurotransmitters is not accurate. You can't take a database with tens of thousands of labs and just say, okay, let's pick out the low ones, and these must be the people that have disease. It doesn't work that way. There's no correlation. The people that have disease and the people that do not have disease basically have the same starting point. It's this damage in the brain that makes the difference. And now in the people that have damage and have, now there's a difference between depression because your house burned down and your dog died, the endogenous depression, and the chronic depression. But people that have these chronic diseases, they have something going on where they've got this damaged nerve bundles in their brain, and you've got to get neurotransmitter levels higher than normal. So everybody comes in, they got normal. And the ones that have disease is the challenge because you've got to get them higher than normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had mentioned during the seminar that it doesn't do any good to do any testing with the urine the first couple of levels because it wasn't going to show anything. And I think that's an important thing for people to understand, too, because so many times you go into the doctor's office and, you know, you walk out with a $1,600 lab bill. And it's nothing to run it up to $1,600, and then you get the testing, and you don't know what it is half the time, and you know, it doesn't really show the differences. So that was a valuable thing, you know, for people to understand that with this particular type of therapy, you don't really need the urine testing unless somebody's really out of whack, and even then, only after you've gone to level two and level three and have not gotten any stabilization with that. And, you know, the thing that really amazed me, too, is there are so many people with some kind of depressive stuff going on, so many people that are suddenly bipolar. I mean, I look around and I think these people cannot be all bipolar.
No.
It's just bizarre.
No.
You know, and if they're not bipolar, they have ADD or ADHD. And it's so difficult to talk to them. You can't even finish a sentence, and they're jumping off. They're almost schizophrenic. You know? It's really irritating to me. You know, I think I'm going to start carrying those amino acids around with me and just pop them in people.
Well, I think every psychiatrist would agree that in certain states, it's virtually impossible to tell or diagnose a patient being bipolar versus schizophrenic versus psychotic break or whatever tag you want to hang on them. It's very difficult, and sometimes it is a diagnosis of convenience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's my concern. Meanwhile, the patient starts to feel worse about themselves. Then they do get depressed because now they've been told that they're crazy as well.
This I wrote a chapter for a new medical textbook coming out February 7th by Johns Hopkins. Ingrid Kolstad with Johns Hopkins was the editor, and it was a depression chapter. And she's an excellent editor, medical editor, and pushed me very hard. And when you look at depression, I hadn't really visited the issue in several years. So when I was writing, I pulled quite a number of recent studies on the effectiveness of the current drugs being used in depression, and it just set me back. I've been talking about that. You heard me at my seminar talking about this, but the average patient taking antidepressants for depression can expect to only get 7% relief better than a sugar pill. In other words, if you treat 100 people for depression with these drugs, 93 of them would 93 will get about the same response as a sugar pill, and 7 of them will get better. And that's not a very good and very effective rate. Plus, what happens when you use these drugs, they move the neurotransmitters around, and they burn them out. They deplete them. And in the process, the patient becomes habituated. They're habit-forming. So when the patient tries to stop the antidepressant, they don't like the way they feel. So even though they want to stop, they just keep taking it because they don't like the way they feel. not that. Yeah. It's just the 7% thing though really got me. The other tidbit I pulled out of that was, see, these studies, the drug companies sponsored the initial studies, so you end up reading those things, which are kind of skewed, but now they've been out a while, and the universities are doing their own independent studies, and in patients over 65 years old, taking antidepressants shows absolutely no relief of symptoms better than a sugar pill. It's just, you might as well give them a sugar pill, because the side effects are less, it costs less, and it works just the same.
Yeah, that and a light. I keep telling people, especially in the wintertime, you know, I hear all these elderly people that are depressed and their blood pressure shoots up and they just don't feel well, and I tell them, well, yeah, it's gloomy today. Go get yourself an Ott light, you know, or get one of the 92% sunlight bulbs from the grocery store, full spectrum light, and that usually helps, of course, because it's, you know, increasing the, excuse me, the neurochemistry in the brain. And, you know, simple things like that. And I tell them to quit looking at the news and quit reading the newspaper because it's all depressing. But beyond that, I mean, half of them aren't eating right in the first place, so they probably have no neurotransmitters to speak of. And then if you add blood type to it, you know, and you add the blood type, like with type O's that tend to have a dopamine problem anyway, in spite of all the meat that they eat, and, you know, those are the ones that are most prone to go into Parkinsonism. And so you look at that and you go, man, you know, there's something really serious going on here. And what if all those additives in the food have actually been put there purposely to deplete the neurotransmitters? And then you put everybody on all these lovely little pharmaceutical aids that don't work and cost a gazillion dollars, and you deplete them even more. I mean, this is serious stuff, Dr. Hintz.
You know, I was in Atlanta, Georgia last weekend, and teaching, and the teaching in itself can be, you know, it can teach you something. Well, I was talking about neurotransmitter depletion by the drugs, and I suddenly realized with the response of the doctors that maybe I hadn't been hammering the point home enough. When you look at drugs like Prozac, Zoloft, Celexa, Lexapro, whatever, the drugs used for depression, and you pull the formal prescribing information, the information that the FDA requires them to make available to doctors, at the very top of the first page is a black box, and it says, warning, clinical worsening, and suicidality. In other words, the risk of suicide developing. And I've known right along why that happens, and I went at it a little differently in Atlanta, and those doctors, they just kind of gasped and they said, well, now that's why it happens. But really, those drugs deplete neurotransmitters. And when neurotransmitter levels get low enough, the clinical problem gets worse, the depression gets worse, and if neurotransmitter levels bottom out enough, people will commit suicide. And it's all because the drug is depleting neurotransmitters.
Yeah, so many things that could be prevented. See, that's the kind of stuff that drives naturopathic physicians crazy. Because
yeah,
we observe all these
too.
Things happening, but, you know, nobody wants to listen to us. And we may not know what's going on totally, but we look at the worsening condition of these people and go, no, it's got to stop. You know, let's get them on the natural things, get them on a healthy diet, get them to stop putting toxins in their body. But that's only part of the problem. With what you guys taught us at that seminar, I feel like I have the other key now, and it's easy. It's so easy. And so thank
we
you.
We are, we talk about the, well, we talked about the effectiveness of the drugs, but to take a minute to talk about the effectiveness of what you're talking about, the approach we've developed. In depression, we're holding out that it's 100%. 100% of people get better. And what we base that on is not a double-blind study, but right now we've got over 900 clinics using this approach. And we take technical calls every day from docs that have problems with their patients or whatever. And since 2004, we haven't had one patient reported to us that has not got better treating depression. So that's kind of what we base it on. But the other end of things is it gets really hard in a medical clinic. For years, I've been in medicine for 36 years. And when you're sitting in a clinic room with a patient that's depressed, and you write a prescription, you usually just identify the depression, do the basic workup, give them a prescription, and send them on their way. The problem is, doing it that way, I have never identified a bipolar depressive patient, a patient who cycles mainly on the depressive side, being bipolar. Mm-hmm. But what we've developed now, every one of them that comes through, we can keep narrowing things down, and finally, about 2% of the population is depressive bipolar. So if they're not responding to the amino acids, which 98% of them do, then you know what to do for the last 2%, and there goes the 100% response.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing. 98%, they're being put on these drugs that aren't doing anything but making it worse.
Yep.
Man, I hope the listeners are really absorbing this, because I know there's a lot of them out there. I've talked to them as I came across the country in different places. So many people said, you know, I've just been so depressed. Well, part of it's because, you know, the listeners for BBS Radio are very aware of everything that's going on out there in the world that a lot of people don't know about. So that's one of the things. Pardon?
Oh, one of the things that I think it's a linchpin in understanding why we're making these claims that only 7% of patients get better with the drugs. When you look at the studies, the placebo effect, the sugar pill effect, is huge. It generally runs between 30 and 40% and upward of 45%. So if you start 100 patients at a study on a sugar pill that are depressed, within the first month, 30 to 40% will get better. So you put that into a clinic setting, and the doc goes and he's got 100 patients, and he writes a prescription, and about half of them get better the first month. He'd say, oh, look, well, the drug's working in about half of them. Mm-hmm. And not realizing that most of that half that seems to be getting better would have got better with a sugar pill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they have to deal with all the other side effects, and some of those drugs tend to make you gain weight, and with over 50% of America actually in the obese range, I don't think that's a good idea. And just a few of them don't cause weight gain, but they all have such serious side effects. And, you know, and here we're coming into the holidays, and one of my concerns, because I was an ER nurse for years, and, you know, we had so many suicides that came in during the Christmas holidays. And what if all they needed was some amino acids?
Well, that would help immensely.
Yeah. And I just look at this kind of stuff and go, oh, my God, I remember how horrible it was. I hated working the Christmas holidays. You know, it was almost as bad as 4th of July and New Year's, you know, when the Saturday Night Knife and Gun Club got together, at least for two meetings on the weekends. And I got to say that, you know, there were so many sad cases and stupid things that happened where you knew people were out of their heads, and it couldn't be just alcohol or drugs. You know, I mean, I can remember so many siblings that stabbed each other with just a regular dinner knife and just over some stupid argument. And you look at them and you go, what the hell were you thinking?
You know, we've known for a long time that inappropriate aggression is one of the problems associated with these neurotransmitters. And, you know, there's so many things you can do with it that it just gets shoved in the background. But, that kind of thing would be a thing of the past if you get people tuned up.
Yeah, that's why... Go ahead.
Oh, did Dr. Stein talk about dementia at all last week?
No, I don't think he did. We were talking mostly about neurotoxins and how to avoid some of the toxins in foods as we go into this season of overindulgence.
I'm gonna put a jab in for my website here. We've been working quite a bit on it. It's called website is neuroassist.com. N as in Nancy, EuroAssist, neuroassist.com. We just hung a page on that today. It was in the diseases, lumped together on the diseases page. We just broke it off on dementia and Alzheimer's. And this is a disease where we don't get a consistent high response, but we're looking at about 15 to 20% of people getting a profound response. And what I mean by that is you take these elderly people that are so confused, they don't know where they're at, they can't do any of the daily functions they used to, and you put them on the amino acids, and it's like their brain comes back entirely. They go back to day-to-day functions. My next-door neighbor here in South Florida is 90 years old. He had pneumonia last. He had a heart attack, then he had pneumonia, and he came back from the hospital. It was just terrible. He was up all night, confused, and I started working with him, and within a couple of weeks, he was back doing everything around the house. His wife says, he's back with me. He don't talk about things that aren't there. The reason I'm going on about the dementia, I think that these old people, you can't guarantee, it's the treatment we've got is much better than any drug that's out there. I think the naturopaths are in a good position to try and augment it because we're getting about a 15 to 20% response, and to kick it up to 30%, 40%, probably it is in the nutritional realm. Mm-hmm. But this kind of stuff's amazing. We also put a Parkinson page on there. When was it? We redid the whole website. We're optimizing for search engines is what's happening. And but with the Parkinson disease, this could be our life's work in and of itself. All the problems you see with Parkinsonism are from misuse of the amino acid L-DOPA or using carbidopa with it. And we've gone through that whole process. And we've got patients now for about, the longest patients running under this approach are about 7 or 8 years. But once you get them stabilized, they don't have this return of the symptoms in 2 or 3 years or shorter. And they don't have all these side effects and problems associated with Parkinsonism. I just talked to a doctor today from New Jersey about a Parkinson patient. He was asking about hemochromocytosis. And that is from carbidopa. Carbidopa depletes peripheral serotonin and dopamine. And, you know, it's just when you hear those kind of things, they jam them on these drugs for a long time, and they try to get rid of the symptoms, but the whole house falls down around them.
Mm. Yeah, and the question, of course, with all that is, once there's been that depletion, can they come all the way back by getting the right balance of the amino acids? And I'm thinking mostly of the people that have really got the bad symptoms of Parkinsonism.
The picture looks like this. If the diagnosis of Parkinsonism is less than about 5 to 7 years, and in other words, they've been under regular medical treatment for 5 to 7 years or less, then you've got a pretty easy job of it in that it'll probably take 2 to 3 months to get everything stabilized. Mm-hmm. In the longer-term patients, this patient from New Jersey today had been treated for 10 years, and the doctor had ran into some problems. You may be looking at 4 to 6 months. This patient I was treating up in Minnesota had been diagnosed about 10 years prior to starting treatment. It took me working vigorously about 6 months to get him under control, but once he was under control, the tremor was virtually gone. He felt great. All his junky symptoms that you see and side effects with the Parkinson's, they just don't crop up. Plus, yeah. It goes right back into the Dr. Stein's talk of last week with the neurotoxins. Mm-hmm. It's known in medicine, it's taught in first year of medical school, that neurotoxins are the primary cause of Parkinson's disease. These things get in the body and damage a certain spot in the brain. Mm-hmm. And with the current treatment of Parkinson's with DOPA, L-DOPA, that depletes glutathione in the body. And glutathione is the most powerful thing for taking out toxins. So use L-DOPA all by itself, and it just like opens the door for the toxins to get back into the brain and keep damaging and make the disease progress.
I've seen some people with beginning dementia that we've backed up with basically dietary stuff, you know, not knowing about the combination. I guess it helps that you have that chemistry degree.
Yeah.
Get these good combinations in. But But I can tell you that for a long time, you know, I've been telling people you have to have protein. You know, you get up in the morning, you can't eat a donut. You know, if you're elderly, you got to be getting a protein shake or something, you know. And I tell them that they can't digest the food anymore because they've lost the stomach acids. And so, you know, I put them on something that's going to be a better source of protein for them, and they wake up. Now, I'm just thinking, you know, if we did that plus gave them these amino acids in the proper balance like you have, that's probably got to make a whole world of difference to most of the elderly people out there.
It's huge. We know who is hooking into our website. We know who is talking about us on the internet, and I'll go out and start reading that stuff sometimes. And some of these docs that come to these seminars or medical conferences we put on, they walk away thinking this guy, all he does is talk about these neurotransmitters. Well, the neurotransmitters are we've got the neurotransmitters down cold, but there's a whole other world out there of nutrition and things that can be done, and we'll stay in our niche, but the kind of things you're talking about with the protein shakes and that, I think those are important too.
Well, and I think that's why, because even though the protein that's in there, I mean, they do have the amino acids, you know, in the absorbable form, but still, just that little bit, and it's not even in the balanced range like with the stuff that you put together, but still that little bit makes that much of a difference with these people because they're basically not getting any. You know, they eat, but they can't digest their food. My mom's 89, you know, and she eats like a truck driver, and she's this little tiny skinny twig, you know. But I had to take her off of what she was eating and get her to eat fish and, you know, get her to do protein shakes and take different supplements that had more protein in them. It made a huge difference. It brought her brain back online.
You know, and there's some interesting, what I'm getting pulled into now is anti-aging. And I've never really been a fan of the anti-aging doctors, I guess, back in 1999 in Los Angeles. I was in some clinics that supposedly were doing anti-aging, and all they would do is get a bunch of tests and give different things to put the test back the way you were when you were age 35, but never couldn't show that they were really doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some anti-aging stuff put on that website, neuroassist.com, and one of the interesting things is we were talking about glutathione. Glutathione is the most powerful agent in your body for taking out toxins.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a literature article I posted on my website there that talks about glutathione levels drop in people until they're 80 years old, and then people past 80, the glutathione levels start going up. And what the author was speculating is that people with low levels of glutathione die off before 80 years old, and only the ones that have the higher levels make it past 80, and that's why you see these kind of numbers. How's that for a thought, you know?
That's a very sobering thought. Oh,
yeah,
well,
the sister pleat that you're working with, I don't know anybody that's ever developed data on what optimal dosing of that is, and that's what we got. It's a fairly stiff dose, 4,500 milligrams a day of cysteine, but that'll keep your glutathione up.
Oh, yeah, glutathione is one of my favorite things. I used to do a lot of IVs when I was in the Phoenix area, and people would come in, and they would just be so sick. I mean, falling down, and I'd have them back on their feet and have their voice back in 2 days because I gave them a whopper vitamin IV with a big dose of glutathione in it and you know, did the hydrogen peroxide and all that other kind of stuff, did everything to kill off the bad guys and, you know, supported them with probiotics and yada, 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 you know, all that kind of stuff. But it makes a huge difference. And talking of huge differences, we don't have too much time left. We've only got about 15, 20 minutes here. If you could talk a little bit about what triggers would people kind of come into contact with that would cause depletion of the neurotransmitters as they go through this holiday season? What should they watch out for?
Well, that comes into different levels. Without ingesting things, stress. Whenever people are under stress takes on many faces, I guess. You know, being having stress for an hour is not, but you know, if you find the whole experience of the holidays being stressful, stress causes release of neurotransmitters. And any time you have an accelerated release, you also have a depletion. And that would do it. The relating to the holiday season itself, I think that's probably the biggest thing.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that hate having to go out and do their Christmas shopping, but yet they do it.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And that's out of the normal daily activity, so that in itself gets to be a stressor. You know, the problem is people live with stress at a point that they don't even realize it's stressful anymore.
Yeah,
and
they can't slow down.
Yep. Can't slow down, can't do a lot of things the way they want it. It's just, you know, it's an artificial life is what it is. Mm-hmm. But people can't afford to live a natural life. I'll just do what I want to do and hang out where I want to hang out.
Yeah. Yeah, true. And you know, when I talk to people about the neurotransmitter stuff, then the first thing they ask me is, how much is that going to cost? And I just kind of look at them and go, well, what can you knock out of your life? You know?
Yeah.
So that you don't have to go and work a second job to pay for all this stuff and, you know, be a little bit smarter about how you're living life.
You know, I've got in my own clinic on the cost, the insight is just profound. I think there was the next door neighbor at the clinic. I don't know if I told this one at the conference you were at, but she came in and had migraine headaches. And we put her on the neurotransmitter amino acids, and the headaches went away for years, all her life. She's elderly, like about 70 something. Well, anyway, over time we found out that we could cut back a little bit on the dosing, and she was still fine. And she went on for 7 years like that, ran out and thought, well, I'm going to see him next week. And by the weekend, her headaches came back.
Wow.
You know, this doesn't cure it; just kind of keeps it under control. But the real thing on the cost that got to me was her daughter came in, and this lady was living on $490 a month Social Security. That's it.
Oh my God!
And the cost was about $75 a bottle, and she was taking about half a bottle. So she would save up $75 every other month and come over and buy it. Well, this was my next door neighbor. I just started giving her the bottles. But, mm-hmm. You know, the point is she had never found anything that really worked, and this did. So she found a way to get it.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, I always ask people, you know, what's your health worth to you? And, you know, especially now with this season, I have all these people that are going, oh, you know, it's going to be terrible. I'm going to gain 10 or 20 pounds over the Christmas season. And then you know they're all going to be killing themselves in January, you know, trying to get that extra poundage off. And so what I've said to several of them is, well, you know, you can do the amino acids because this neurotransmitter therapy really works. And you don't have to starve yourself. You don't have to feel depleted or that you're deprived. You know, you just have to be a little more sensible about what you're doing. You know, drink one glass of wine instead of four, you know, and you know, don't eat, you know, the entire piece of pumpkin pie. Have two bites and take some home or, you know, whatever. So what I have found with a lot of people is they're thinking about it, but, you know, with the economy the way it is, now people are going, well, let me try some first.
You know, well, it's not like an aspirin. You better commit to a few weeks if it's going to take that long to get it adjusted.
Well, exactly.
You know.
And then the next thing they ask me is, how long do I have to take this? But that varies, doesn't it?
Well, if it's chronic disease that you suffered with for quite a while, you're probably going to be on it the rest of your life if you want to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And because you've got damaged bundles of neurons in your brain, and those things just don't go away, you know?
Mm-hmm. I can tell you, though, that it does make a huge difference. So I guess my point in this is, if it's working and it's taking care of the obesity, if it's taking care of the insomnia, if it's taking care of depression, and it's not giving you any harmful side effects, that seems like a no-brainer to me. You know,
and what we found, too, is of those diseases you've named, there's over 100 more sitting out there. You can go look at the website.
Mm-hmm.
But people that have one usually have three, four, or more diseases at the same time. Sometimes they don't even know they're suffering that bad. One disease overshadows the other, it's so bad, or something like that went on.
Oh, that happens, you know, all the time. I get people that come in and say, I'm in pretty good health, and then I check them, and I go, well, you got this problem, this one, and this one, and this one, and they're like, oh, now I feel terrible.
You know, one thing, too, that's with the anti-aging stuff that I've started talking about more with clinics, but the aches and pains of getting old. If you've got a blown-out knee with osteoarthritis that needs a total, this ain't going to help. But you get these aches and these different funny pains in your body as you grow older, those will all be gone with this stuff. It's incredible. I'm in my late 50s, and if I go on a trip and forget my amino acids, I can tell you right where all the pains are once again.
Yeah, you know, I did notice that, too. The pains went away probably within 4 days, because I've had a lot of back injuries. And so, you know, when I noticed about the fourth day that the pains were gone, I thought that was pretty interesting. As far as feeling better, that happened within 24 hours. And it was like I could take a deep breath, you know.
It's like peeling an onion, and you get closer and closer to the middle of the onion. And, you know, initially you got somebody that's not sleeping well, and their sleep gets better, so they think that's great. Al Stein, Dr. Stein, who was on your show last week, he has a great, I know he didn't get into his personal dosing type thing, but he got into this because of sleep, and his sleep got improved, and some other things improved. And he was just kind of, he'd get up in the morning and be dragging around for an hour or two, and he thought, well, it's, at least I'm sleeping. And we got a test that moved one pill on him, and the lights came on. He got right into the middle of where he should be. So it's something. It's hard because it's like some of these people, they're suffering so bad they don't even realize it. It's like they've got a sliver in a wound. So you pull the sliver out, they're feeling better, but now maybe go ahead and push it a little harder and optimize them and get the wound gone too.
Yeah, it's really interesting the way this stuff works, and I am very grateful for it because I can see that there are so many things that can help people now, like the thyroid issue. You know, we've got like 85% or more of people in the United States are hypothyroid, subclinical hypothyroidism because of the iodine problem, because of all the bromine, the fluorine, and the chlorine that's in everything that we eat and drink and bathe in. And so, you know, when you start talking about how it helps with thyroid problems, well, that makes perfectly good sense because, you know, everything's up in the brain there and you've got all these feedback systems and, you know, you get one thing to work better and then, of course, everything else will too. So I'm looking forward to trying that with a lot of people that are in that subclinical hypothyroidism stage.
Yeah, it's we don't understand everything that we're sitting on top of here. We understand what we can do to really control the neurotransmitters and get it as good as can be, but as far as everything that we're affecting and all the outcomes, it's a major research project.
Yeah, well, you know, you're affecting so many different systems, and I can see that this is going to be really amazing to see how it works. I mean, you might find out that the dosage that works against depression and insomnia only needs to be half for thyroidism or something, or maybe it needs to be doubled. Who knows?
You don't know. See, what the problem is sorting out what sounds good from what really is good. And a couple case studies don't make real good research, but Doc called me here a couple weeks ago. He's got two patients that had early glaucoma and got them going on the amino acids for something else. And they went back to the ophthalmologist, and their pressures had gone back to normal. I can see where that happens because the things that we're working with are involved in the eyes.
Interesting. I just heard from somebody that had glaucoma. I'm trying to remember who it was, but she had high blood pressure too.
Yep.
And it's not my patient; it's somebody's mother, and. I think that might be a good thing to suggest to her. I did tell her to get on your website and find a practitioner in her area that does
the best thing you can do is, there's a link on the website that talks about contact us. Right now, we're pushing about 300 patients, or people a month asking for a referral off that website.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, and I think that that's going to ultimately help with all these studies, too. Well, it'll be anecdotal mostly, but still, I mean, I am so amazed at the changes that I've seen in the people that I've put on that protocol. And they were not people that had any major problems. You know, they just had, you know, a few little problems here and there, a little high blood pressure, you know, a little bit of overweight.
Yep.
You know, nothing big. But then all of a sudden, the cravings were cut. Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about. The other thing was that it took away the food cravings. And, you know, some of us, like I'm a night person, I want to eat at night. I eat dinner, and an hour later, I want something else to munch. And an hour later, something else. And I found
that's
that when
how,
I was on
That's how we got into all this was medical weight loss clinic in Duluth, Minnesota, where the insurance companies were paying us to treat obesity. If you had the insurance and walked through the door, we would get paid and the patient would get treated.
Mm-hmm.
And all this, we were having problems with diabetic patients back then, and I turned to amino acids trying to figure it out, and out of that came all of this.
Oh, that's amazing stuff. And I think that that's very valuable in itself, because look at all the weight loss aids that are out there that are actually harmful that people will take in order to stop the munchies.
Yep.
So
virtually every drug that you can prescribe for weight loss depletes neurotransmitters profoundly. And what happens when they deplete neurotransmitters enough, they quit working. So you take these weight loss drugs, you lose some weight, and all of a sudden the drug quits working. Well, you've just burned out your neurotransmitters to the point that the drug won't work anymore.
Wow. Yeah. And so many of those weight loss aids are really bad. You know, I've had a lot of people ask me, well, what about this? What about that? And I tell them, I wouldn't take that stuff. You know, here, let me put you in something natural.
There's too much to do here. I met with the head of the research committee at the University of Minnesota Medical School about 2 weeks ago, and they just put out the first paper on our work. They've got a second paper. This started that they were going to do one paper on our work, on our research. Now they want to do a whole series of papers. Well, fine.
Wow.
If the medical school wants to write about it, fine. But, you know, and behind that, we've got to come in and write papers. And these are high-level scientific papers. I mean, if you give them to most medical doctors, they get no benefit for treating patients in their clinic. So we've got to come behind that and pull out what the medical school is talking about and write a paper that brings it down to the doctor's level.
Mm. Wow. So that's just more work. Well, it keeps you busy and off the streets, huh?
I think we've got to get this out to the doctors of the world. I mean, this is just, they can't be using this crap where it hardly works on anybody. It burns out your neurotransmitters. It gets you habituated. These kind of drugs they're just goofy.
Well, yeah, they cause way too many problems. And I have quite a few physicians that listen to my show, mostly MDs, interestingly enough, and a few naturopaths, but I've had quite a few psychologists and psychiatrists that have contacted me over the years and been interested in something that they heard on the show that was all about, you know, doing something naturally. So this is one reason why I wanted to get you and Dr. Stein on the show, and I'd like to have you guys come back several times, because this information needs to get out there right now so they stop poisoning people and stop throwing them on the coal heap, you know. Because there's too much of that crap going on, and people have no hope in life. And, you know, they just know they're going to get more and more drugs. And I can't tell you how many people I've had come into me, and they were on four different mood-elevating drugs, usually two of which should never have been given together, you know?
Yeah.
And they could have just gotten fixed with the amino acids.
Well, by the time they get on multiple antidepressants, either they've got bipolar depression or you burned out the neurotransmitters so bad that you're trying to wring the last few molecules out of their brain with what drugs you're putting them on.
Oh, exactly. You know, and until I found out about the amino acid therapy protocol that you guys have, I really couldn't do much other than give them a few things here and there and, you know, get them off of the bad stuff and clean them out and
do some acupuncture. Well, that's the trick. That's the trick. These things that we're using look simple, and you can go into a health food store and buy them. But the nutrients by themselves, like that each of the nutrients we're using, if you give them improperly, they will deplete neurotransmitters also.
Mm-hmm,
so,
exactly. You need the balance.
Yeah, this seems so simple, but it's not. It's quite an approach that took quite a bit of database work to come up with this formula.
Absolutely, and I've had people ask me, well, can't I just go to the health food store and buy this stuff? And I tell them, yeah, but you can't get the balance right. You know, and so it cost them so much to get the amounts that you guys put in the protocol that it's just cheaper to get it from you, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's it. I know it's the most expensive nutrient. That's what it's priced at. Plus, it's got all the rest of the nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we buy lots of bottles of that stuff so you can afford to get it cheaper and pass it on that way.
Oh, yeah, and it's great stuff.
Plus, you've got, you know, it's like doing surgery on yourself. You've got a significant illness. Just because you can get a hold of the nutrient, well, they don't value the care and the guidance of the caregiver.
Right.
And that's important, too. You need somebody there monitoring to make sure that you're getting better and doing, you know, everything's coming along the way it should.
Exactly. Because otherwise, you know, they end up hurting themselves. And, you know, I live in an area where everybody thinks they can deal with their own health, and they might come in a couple times, and then they go, oh, I can do this myself, and they come back 6 months later worse than before. And they look at me kind of sheepishly, you know, and go, well, you know, I thought I could do it myself. It's like, yeah, I know.
Well, the ace in the hole in this is if it isn't working, then you can get in there with a neurotransmitter test. Some of these people, the balance that they need is so out in left field compared to the rest of the group. And you go through this process, and if they don't respond to these initial treatment dosings, then you can get a test and get them squared away yet, too. You know, you mentioned it early on in the show that you haven't really got any testing. We've seen that. We've seen docs that have gone out of the conferences, take care of a lot of patients, and never needed a test in 2 years. That's the way their practice is. And we've seen other docs that, like, 25% of their patients, for whatever reason, need testing to get there.
Yeah, and I just wonder sometimes if it's that they don't trust unless they have the test, or they're worried, and, you know, it's a CYA-type procedure.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, I like to know that the patient's getting better, but there's some things I have to have tests for. This, you guys made it pretty clear that, you know, you don't really need it unless it's not working. So I went, oh, fabulous. You know, that works great. The patients like that, you know. But on the other hand, I don't have any problem telling somebody they need $1,600 worth of lab work if that's what they really need.
Yeah.
You know, but it just kind of depends on what the person's going through. So I'm really happy that, you know, you can tell pretty much by the alleviation of the symptoms that the patient's getting more balanced.
So you're treating the patient, not the lab. If the patient's better, that's what counts.
Exactly. So I'm happy about that. Would you give out your contact information again, please, Dr. Hinz?
Yeah. You can email us off this website. It's neuroassist.com. N as in Nancy, EUROASSIST. neuroassist.com.
Okay, and they can email you and find a practitioner in their area.
Yep,
and
at the top of every page it says contact us or request a referral or something like that. There's a blue hyperlink at the top of every page.
Okay.
And if nothing else, go there and look at the pictures of the world I've taken. Every picture on the top of every page I've taken somewhere around the world and traveling with this research project.
Awesome. Great. Well, we are out of time, so thank you so much for being on the show, and I have to have you come back and tell us some more about neurotransmitters, because, you know, a lot of these people are going, oh, my God, I don't even know what to ask, and, you know, that's kind of typical when we get into some of this medical stuff, but I think that what you've done tonight has really given a lot of people hope, so thank you for that, and thank you for your
work. Well, it's my pleasure, and let me know if you want me to come back and talk with you for an hour again.
Absolutely. Love it. Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Hinz.
Yep.
Okay. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in, those of you that can still hear us since we had a few difficulties earlier. And we have been talking with Dr. Marty Hinz, H-I-N-Z, neuroassist.com. And if you forget that, you can email me and I'll remind you of where to go to get the information. And thank you so much for tuning in. And thank you so much, Hydramay Skin Nutrition, for sponsoring this show. And if you guys haven't tried that, I'm telling you, you got to try it. And it's pretty amazing stuff. It's nutrition for your skin. Soaks right in. It's non-greasy. And it's just smells nice, but the smell goes away as soon as it soaks in. And, you know, it's just a pretty nice little thing to put on yourself and not have to worry about it. Very natural stuff. So thanks to the Hydramay, we are continuing with our show here on BBS Radio. And now next week we have David Sarita on. You might have heard him on Coast to Coast and a couple other shows. He's the one who has done the movie Water, and his book is The Voice. He's got a couple books, I think, but we'll ask him what those are next week. So he's going to come on and talk about those things and new projects that he's doing. And he has been a lifelong meditator and has been through six of the heavens and was standing outside the seventh heaven with the one that we call Jesus. And he's going to tell us a little bit about that. So tune in next week for some more fun. And I hope that you've gotten a lot of information from this show. Any questions, drop me a line. And until next week, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.
Awaken, awaken, awaken.